Welcome to Elevate Your Business, a podcast for mortgage professionals from Elevate Coaching at Guild Mortgage. Hosted by Coach P, top producer, vice president of Elevate, and national coach, each episode is a playbook for success. You'll hear from top producers and industry leaders as they share the moves, mindset shifts, and lessons that shaped their growth, both at work and in life. Elevate your business. Making the moves that matter.
On today's playbook, Coach P welcomes Brian Sewell. Brian built his success on resilience and impact, pivoting through market shifts and leading with education, coaching, and events. From hosting powerful client and community gatherings to mentoring agents and building strong partnerships, Brian proves that when the industry changes, true leaders elevate with it. Let's dive in.
Elevate your business, starting now.
So welcome to the Elevate Business Podcast. On today's episode, we are joined by Brian Sewell, a 24-year mortgage veteran and top producer here at Guild Mortgage. Early in his career, he built his business on builders. He had over 10 builders that he was working with, and then the crash hit in 2008. And he had to adjust his game. He had to pivot and go to real estate agents. And so he's going to talk to us today about making that adjustment. He uses education. He does a lot of lunch and learns to help them grow and understand what's going on in our mortgage industry. And his journey proves that when the market changes, true leaders elevate with it. So welcome, Brian.
Thanks for having me. Excited.
You bet. So let's just open up with this first question. You started your career working heavily with builders. What was the season like, and how did you get into the builder business to begin with?
That's a great question. I always often look back at those times because it was fun times. So it wasn't easy. So you remember, I got into business right after or right before September 11th. And unfortunately, what a tragic incident that happened. The thing is, though, rates dropped during that time. And I jumped into business and everybody was doing a big refinance bull. Well, I had no clients to refi. So I just kept hitting builders and going to see them. And they weren't getting, no one was marketing to them at that time. So they didn't have Fixer Upper and Property Brothers and all that stuff back then. If you remember, I was curious about new construction. I love looking at beautiful homes. And so I just kept hitting them over and over again and over and over again. And I remember that conversation. I had a handwritten rate sheet with the, you know, you wrote the rates, the APR on the side, 30 year, 15 year. And there's an arm on there. He said, "Hey, Brian, you get this deal done, you figure it out, you'll be my lender." And I was like, "Man, this guy's giving me a shot." So we figured it out. So it was really, really good business.
So how many years have you had that relationship?
24 years. He tells everyone when he introduces me, though, he's like, "Hey, I've been working with Brian for 35 years. And I'm always looking like the math doesn't add up." But no, he was my first account. And still loyal to this day. You know, we're good friends.
It means a lot, right? That first person that gives you a shot. We all need that, right? So here you are. You've got 10 builders. You're crushing it. 2000 hits, like it hits all of us. So what do you do? Like, what happened during that time? Describe what happened.
In 2008? Yeah. Man, that was rough. So unfortunately, all of my builders stopped building. And I was heavy purchase. I didn't do a lot of refis. So I was probably 80, 85% purchase. Average loan size was about 400, 450. And they all quit. I mean, unfortunately, I had one builder commit suicide. It was crazy. And I think about those times. I had just opened up my mortgage broker shop in 06 and closed down in 08. So I had a small shop, just my wife and I. And, I felt crushed, devastated. And, you know, and it was a really tough time because you see your income go down by 70%. You don't think you're as good as you thought you were. That was very humbling. And it was a learning experience. And it's funny, one of the stories, and I don't even think we talked about this, that shaped my life and career was how I stopped feeling sorry for myself. So I can share that if you want.
Yeah, share it.
Yeah, so it was weird. So income went down 70%. We sat to do a short sale on our house. I mean, it was a start over period. And I joined my church serving committee. It was called Gideon's Army. And we were downtown feeding the homeless. And I'll never forget this. I remember like it was yesterday. So we had all these peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. We got clothes we were giving away. And, you know, all the homeless people were asking for this stuff, like food, and you see them. And this one particular person, and I think he was an angel from God, he was handicapped. I saw him eat like 3 peanut butter jelly sandwiches in a matter of like 5 minutes. I was busting tears. And he didn't ask for money and nothing for me. He asked me for my Bible, and he wanted to pray for me. And it was so weird. And I was feeling like a, you know, selfish and like, oh, I did this, this failed and all that. And that changed my life for just humbling me and also understanding that no matter how bad you're going through something, somebody's always got it worse. And, you know, it made me want to serve more. So that's, I guess, the short version of that. But that it was a pivoting moment in my life that helped me appreciate the opportunities we get to do in our business and help people, and made me want to learn more and be more, be of a servant heart.
It's during those transitions and changes in our life. I mean, that's really when we grow, right? And being grateful, I agree with you 100%. Like, sometimes we feel sorry for ourselves, we get depressed or down. Yeah. But there's always someone out there that has it a little bit worse than we do, right? And recognizing and being grateful for what we have can be super helpful in those moments.
Absolutely.
You know, if you could go back into that time during this transition, what have you learned today? Like, what would you have told your younger self?
That's a great question. It's a simple answer. Hire a coach. Hire a coach or mentor, because there's so many gaps that I had back then. Yes, I had builder business. Yes, I was charismatic. But I didn't work with any realtors. I ticked up, I had like 2 realtors, and I referred them a lot of listings because people had to sell their house to build their house. And but I would have worked on that relationship, getting a coach, being organized, understanding B2B, and being able to do a little bit of what I do now is train and coach and share. So I think if I had systems and processes in place back then not saying we wouldn't have got hit, but, you know, during the time of closing my company down, I never did FHA. 90% of my business was conventional. Everything was 20% down, 10% builder business, right? And, you know, I did a little bit of subprime, but not a lot. And understanding FHA and that, you know, as you remember after 08-09 is when FHA was very heavy. I think it was some number like 60-70% the market because of all the short sales and foreclosures and stuff was FHA. But I never did Govy. So I learned Govy. It took me about a year or so to learn that. But having that, I think having a coach back then would have set me up differently, and I would have been more structured and been able to take care of those challenges as they came.
I agree with you. I was talking to a student today, and they said to me, you know, if I would have known to go do those things in the very beginning, you know, I'd be somewhere completely different. But I think in the time that we got in the business, it was like, here's your computer, go get them, Tiger, right? And there wasn't much training. So it's great that we have a coaching program now that we can help people, you know. They're going to do so much more business quicker than we did because they've got that guidance, right? And I agree, systems is a huge difference, right? So 100%. Now you're having 25 to 30 conversations today with real estate agents. You know, what are you doing to bring value and to deepen those relationships?
So it kind of piggybacks off what we just talked about, coaching. So I truly believe in coaching. And so most agents don't implement, or they're kind of scatterbrained even more as we could be sometimes. So I try to invest in them, one, see what some of their biggest challenges are and see if there's a way that we can help, you know. So I listen. My wife would say, I got to get better at that, whatever. I do listen. And I try to be a coach or a mentor to them to help them get through their challenges. So, because not to go on a spiel, I heard some stat that said like 70% of loan officers close less than one deal a month. I don't know how true that is. I've heard it multiple times. And then like 70% of realtors haven't closed one deal for the year. And, you know, so understanding the challenges that come with that, like, okay, do you want to grow? And can I help you? And that's my approach. If I can serve, and, you know, sometimes you get to those that don't and you have those that do. So it's just finding the right people you want to work with that you can be a mutual benefit for each other.
Do you think, like, in this market and across, you know, we've seen the market slow down a little bit, at least in my market, we're seeing houses sit a little bit longer.
Oh, yeah.
So what do you think, you know, while when you're coaching them and you're helping them, what is it that real estate agents need right now in that area? What are you coaching them on?
So it's different things. You're right. Houses are starting to see a little bit more, right? People are anticipating the rate drop. I would say be a servant to as many people you can. So have enough conversations, see enough people. And that seems very simple, but a lot of time, I mean, you need a win, you know. So many times we just focus on the challenges and the problems we have. So if you can be a servant to others and you're consistently reaching out to buyers, I mean, it's a numbers game. I love this book, Fanatical Prospecting. It's one of my favorite books, but it is a numbers game. And our job is to continually fill the pipeline. And the thing is, I think loan officers do this too, but agents, they get discouraged maybe a little faster. Like it says, if most of them haven't closed one deal for the year, I couldn't imagine. So getting a win and just telling them to be consistent and coaching them up on different things and different tools that we have at Guild helps us to do that. But a lot of it's mental. So if I think about the conversation I have, a good portion of it is mental because, you know, clients back out, buyer's remorse, first-time buyers, it's so weird. They get through the home inspection and they cancel. And so like, okay, what can we do about it? There's some things that are out of our control, but what things can we control? And then you move forward from there. So some of it's mental and some of it's just encouraging them to just keep pushing forward, making the calls and calling their databases of that nature.
Is there any specific tool right now that you're training realtors on?
So right now I have an office it's three agents, but we do it every Thursday. We look and see what things can we do differently. And so HomeBot has it. It shows you who's likely to sell, who has a lot of equity. So it's just being a servant to your clients and reaching out and making the calls. And sometimes they just need that conversation. So I'm doing that. And then we've done book clubs, but we'll look at, okay, like Fanatical Prospecting was a book we used. Okay, so we'll talk about the wins and challenges they're dealing with. And then we'll talk about three chapters each week. We did that for a little while. That was good. But that's really what we've coached on. And I think, again, mindset, you know, how do I think about this? Because two people can look at something completely different and come out with different results. It's the way we think about stuff.
Yeah, I think too, you know, helping real estate agents, it's interesting about prospecting, how challenging it is for even agents to call their past clients, you know, and then they'll say, well, I haven't talked to him in a long time, Paula, so I don't know what to say, you know, and it's calling people. And if we don't talk to people, we don't uncover
right
what the issue or the problem or the challenge is. You know, I think sometimes we get into texting too much, but you can't uncover anything through a text, right?
No.
So yeah, helping agents, getting them comfortable making calls, and HomeBot is a great tool because it gives them the reason to call,
yeah.
Right?
And agents clients want to know about the value of your home. I mean, it's what, a 70% open ratio. So that, you know, that's another reason. And I guess another reason I give them a call is like I do events. So I've had that conversations with past clients that I haven't spoken to in a while. Yes, I'm guilty of it. And I just simply say, I'm sorry. It's a cool thing about living in America, man. We're willing to forgive as long as you're sincere, you mean the apology, and tell them I'm gonna do a better job. And then I'll invite them to one of our client appreciation events just to make sure I, you know, stay in contact. So I think that it's just don't be afraid of the no. The worst thing they can say, you know, Brian, you've been far. And look, I've lost deals for not reaching out. And it's a lesson to learn. But the worst they can say is, yeah, I'm going with someone else or, you know, I don't want to talk to you. But just make it a call more often. They're going to be like, oh, yeah, you know, you helped me buy my home 10 years ago. Right. So it just make the call.
So another thing we talked about is you do a lot of events. And this month, particularly, how many events have you done or attended?
10.
And, 10 events.
10 events. I got one more. No, two more. I got one, an AKA event tomorrow. And then I'm speaking at my last one with a real estate office I've been working on for a while, Saturday morning. So
let's talk about these events. 10 events. You know, some people love events. Some people, they get scared about it. What are you doing in these events? Are you leading them? Are you attending them? And what events are you going to?
So I'm not even counting the events that I attended. I'm counting events that we hosted. So I did client-centric events, right, direct. And then I did builder direct events, multiple of those. And then I did a lot of realtor events, which I do lunch and learns each month. Been doing that forever. So this month, speaking directly for realtors, we did two lunch and learns last Friday, and it was such a blessing. I had Zach Norris come out. He's in our reverse department and talk about reverse mortgages, and a lot of agents don't know about it. So we did two events that day, and I didn't have to speak as much because, you know, I let him host that. I've also did the builder event, we just did a lunch and learn on that, where we had about eight builders for our SSHBA organization, South Suburban Home Builders Association, come out, and we taught them about all of our builder programs at Guild, which are huge. We have tons of programs at Guild.
Lots of programs.
Right. So that was a really good event. And then we did one-on-one events too with some smaller builders that they had their crew on. So I'm not even counting those. Looking back at the calendar here, I did a buyer's event at a church where I spoke at on the 6th. We did a client appreciation event on the 13th, where we had about 30 clients come out. No, I take that back. We were supposed to have 30. We had like 23 clients. The fact that I remember that number come out. Well, this is what's cool about that event. It's the first time I ever did it, is that I invited clients to learn about how to buy a second home or investment properties. We talked about that. We had a lot of good feedback. But the caveat, you get brunch on Brian, but you have to bring a guest that was interested. And so we had 12 clients, and then we got 23 people total, with the people didn't know. And so we got to follow up.
So
on
if
that
everybody's call. Listening to this, what a great deal. You get brunch on Brian as long as you bring somebody with you, someone new. And then did you put everybody in your CRM?
No, I get an F for that, Coach
P. We got to do that.
I have the list. It feels so, if I just be really transparent, I'm a little tired, but that needs to get done, right? Because there was a lot, because normally, again, it's usually two. We did 10. And again, that's 10 events that we did. I'm not counting anything that I went just supported. We helped a couple of realtors do some events as well. But it was exciting. I think each one, and there were some that had a lower attendance. I mean, we had one of the realtor events, we only had like 7 agents come out to it.
That's okay.
It was deeper. Like yesterday with the builder event, we had 8 people, but 3 of those builders, they were so engaged in asking questions about our Builder Forward program. It was just stayed 30 minutes afterwards. And I would say it's the right people in a room and how much of an impact you can have on those people.
So like if someone's out there and they haven't done events before, what would you suggest? What would be the best type, easier event to start with?
So, I mean, you're talking to loan officers, right? Yeah. So I would say, teach on products. That can get old, right? But I do a mortgage 101 class once a year. Sometimes I forget. And that came up because agents asked me, say, hey, we forget that you're in the mortgage business because you coach on everything. So teach on some of your products as we, at Guild, obviously, we have a huge suite of products. That's a really good event to do. And you get engagement because agents want to know about the products and things you have. So I would do something like that. I think that's an incredible first event. And then I love doing the 90-day reset lunch and learn because it's not only you coaching agents, but you get better because you're helping them. And you just really analyze where you're at, where you want to be, and then see the different pain points. So I like those two things. But if you can't do that, if you don't feel comfortable doing it, I would say do some more products and then ask them, get feedback, what they thought about the event and what else they'd like to learn. And they'll give you their honest feedback.
What was the 90-day reset?
So it's something that I've done for the last probably 3 or 4 years is where, because we do the yearly business plans. So every 90 days I'll come up and say, okay, where do I want to be and what are the holes and working it? So you asked me earlier, how did I come up with these 10 events? Well, part of that, and I didn't even realize it was subconsciously, I was looking at it and saying, hey, these are the holes in my business. My builder business is not where it used to be, right? Because I neglected that a little bit. I don't go out and see them as much as I should. And so we did 3 builder events, and then we've seen builders a lot this month. And hey, we've gotten better conversations and better opportunities with them. So it helps you look at things and say, hey, here's where I'm at. So builders were low. As you remember, like 6 months ago, my past clients were low, but that's increased, right? The referral, because I focus on that. And then I think you steadily get better at each bucket that you want to get better at. And then, you get coached because that helps, because it's
holds you accountable.
Yes, it held you accountable. That's the word I'm looking for, right? So you look at, and you're out, hit your goals a little bit faster.
So the other thing I think that stops people is like, how do I plan this? Do you have any help? Do you do all this by yourself? What's your strategy in that area?
So this month, I had guest speakers. So I use a couple
guest speakers.
So we've been doing these lunch and learns so long, and I lean on my CRM too. So how I feel the room, if I want to do a big event, like let's say if I wanted to do an event and get like 50 people to show up, we had Nora Guerrero come out earlier in the year in our Olin Park location. I think I got like 35 agents to come and I was a little disappointed. I wish I would have got more. But the thing was, how I get people to show up is, one, I make my calls on Monday, right, from inviting agents. If it's clients, I make sure I reach out to them. And then I use a couple of tools that help remind them, not only my CRM, but there's a slide out, slide broadcast I use when I need to just send them a reminder and just say, hey, come out. So there's different tools we use to make sure we're doing that. I still think we can get better. The interns helped me over the summer to fill events because they call it. The best solution to fill events to me is you making a phone call. We can use all those tools, emails and all that stuff, but making a phone call, making sure they remind and then having reminders. So the interns did help me with that. But yeah, and then the title companies that we have sponsored that will invite people, insurance reps, but mostly the most people that come to our events because realtors is easy for me because I talk to them every week. The client thing, which again, it was a rainy day last Saturday too, and we still had 23 people show up. So, you know, I guess that wasn't too bad. We were expecting 30. So
where did you have the event?
At Blissful Banana Cafe. So I partnered up. So here's a quick story. So Nick Baffis owns Blissful Banana Cafe. He's who got me in the business. So he owned Integrity Home Mortgage. I worked with him for 6 years. So we kind of developed this partnership where I do a lot of my, you know, events there, probably like 4 or 5 a year now. I used to do them every month there, but he helps with that. So we feed them well, we teach them, we hope to develop a stronger relationship.
That's great. So building a relationship with someone local that, and you do them there all the time, which gives you consistency, right?
Right. And we probably get about 4 or 5 referrals a year from him. He's an agent, part-time agent too, but that offsets that cost, you know, the lunch and learns. They run a couple $100 a pop or something. The highest one was like $500, but you do, I'm there 4 or 5 times a year for lunch and learn. It pays for itself.
Absolutely. So you've mentioned coaching a lot. Is there anything specific that you've learned from a coach that you could share with everybody that's listening that could really help them?
Yeah, every coach has had a huge impact on me. I think I've gotten something about all of them. So I'm gonna use two lines. I didn't know how I was gonna answer this. So I say this a lot from an outside coaching source I had before, and he mentioned to me. He said, "You say this a lot. What you track, you get better at." And that's set into me, but that's because he impacted that on me. Another one that I use probably more often than that is the Jack Canfield book that came from Cindy. And it's E plus R equals O. And that simply means events plus response equals outcome. And my response controls my outcome. That's the only thing I can control. So, you know, the lesson I learned back from 08 was I felt sorry for myself a little too long, right? Get over it. It's okay, those feelings are valid, but how I respond to something, you know, if I respond to positive and say, what can I do about this situation, usually brings along a solution.
I love that. I agree. It's not what happens to us. It's how we respond, right?
Yep.
So let's talk about like morning routines. What do you do every morning to get yourself ready and prepared for your day?
That's fine. I was just talking to a coaching student about that a little bit ago. So wake up, I read a verse in the Bible, do a little journaling, get my mind right. I like to say I exercise every day. I don't. I get a little lazy. I'm going to get better at that. Probably 3 or 4 days a week I go. But the days that I do my routine correctly to exercise and I'll take that walk, 2 or 3 mile walk, it releases stuff and I'm so much better. But yeah, I like to start off with gratitude. So I write my 3 things I'm grateful for, which is usually the same thing, a different spin on. The first thing I always say I'm grateful for is, you know, Christ, Jesus. I believe in. That's my impact, everything. The second thing I'm grateful for, I talk about my wife, you know, and my 3 boys, and that's the reason, right? And then I talk about my business family, right? The opportunities that I get. So those are usually my 3 things that I talk about. And it just fixed my mindset. There are times I've skipped that step. And I'm like, my day has been screwed. It's effed up. And I'm like, Brian, you didn't do your 3 things, you know? So it's funny. It seems very small, but it's a habit that creates... It puts a smile on my face, right? It gets me something. It reminds me of the good things that we have going, regardless of what we have. I mean, look, we all struggle with the same stuff. right? We all have issues. We have, you know, I was like, God, I got all these leads and these freaking clients pulling out of contracts. And so, you know, like we all struggle to say things, but how we respond to it and stand in gratitude has made, you know, a tremendous impact on my life.
That's great. I agree. What's one piece of advice you could give every loan officer listening today about how to adapt? Like, what would you say to them? Because our industry is always going to change. It's never going to be the same. And so this cycle, these different cycles are going to happen over and over and over again.
Yeah. I would say hire a coach.
Hire a coach.
And if you can't afford a coach, get a mentor. But see, hire a coach because, you know, everybody's in different stages of their life. We do have to pivot, right? So, I mean, that has helped me this year maintain. And I want to grow still, which we're going to do more than we did last year. But coaching has such a huge effect. And I know we said that earlier, but that's the one advice I have because we do have to pivot and having someone on the outside. Coach P, you can see things when you say, hey, Brian, you need to work on this. Where I may not catch it, right? So having someone that's invested in you on the outside, that's not in your minutia every day, you know, can help you adjust. And, you know, there's times where you need to show more grace and there's time you need to get in our ass. So, sorry, I didn't mean to cuss on the thing, coaching is, it's everything. And I don't understand how you do it. I get asked that all the time. I'm like, I'll give up some marketing stuff before I give up coaching.
Yeah, it's a game changer. You know, it's, the opponent, when I was coaching college basketball, what I loved was about the game is you're always looking at matchups, the opponent changes, and if you don't adjust, you lose, right? So you've got to adjust your game when things happen, and you've got to adjust quickly, right? If you wait, kind of like what you were talking about in the beginning, you have that moment of feeling sorry for yourself, you know, you're wasting time. So it's all about taking action, and I think being open to maybe doing something that's a little uncomfortable. And that's why coaching is important, right? Because sometimes we don't do those things by ourselves.
Right. No, I can say I'm going to have 100 conversations and I'll do that, but it's the right conversations, right? You know, so listening to what others are doing and coach, it's just, I can't say enough about it. And I'm not just saying that because you're here. I've been saying that it's just a huge impact and it makes all the difference and you'll make your adjustments faster.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Brian. So proud of you. I know how challenging it can be, but like 2008 was really tough and you made a huge adjustment and you're continuing to make adjustments. And I think anyone that's going to do 10, I mean, lunch and learns, I mean, that's a lot.
Yeah.
So congratulations on what you're doing. I'm looking forward to seeing you continue to grow.
Well, thanks for having me on. I really enjoyed it.
You bet.
Thanks for listening to Elevate Your Business, a podcast from Elevate, the internal coaching program at Go Mortgage. Glad you could be here for today's playbook. If you want to check us out, head over to gilmortgage.com and click About Us to find Elevate Coaching. Have a question or want to keep the play going? Visit us and send a DM on Instagram at Elevate Mortgage Coaching or leave a comment for us on YouTube. We're posting extra content, behind-the-scenes action, and everything you need to stay in the mortgage game. On Elevate Your Business, we share real stories and strategies from top producers to help you move forward. So ask yourself, what are you waiting for? It's time to elevate.
Guild Mortgage Company, NMLS Identification Number 3274, NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Equal housing opportunity, equal opportunity employer. Arizona banking license number 00188883. Licensed by the Department of Financial Protection and Innovation under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. Massachusetts mortgage lender and broker license number MC3274. Licensed by the Mississippi Department of Banking and Consumer Finance. Licensed by the New Jersey Department of Banking and Insurance. Nevada mortgage company number 1141. Oregon mortgage lending number ML176. Rhode Island licensed lender and third-party loan servicer. Guild Mortgage Company, 5887 Copley Drive, San Diego, California, 92111. For licensing, visit guildmortgage.com/licensing. All loans subject to underwriter approval. Terms and conditions apply. Subject to change without notice. Elevate is an internal Guild Mortgage Company coaching program and not a separate entity. Podcast content is provided for informational purposes and based on publicly available materials or tactics used in the industry. The views, strategies, or opinions discussed do not necessarily represent those of Guild Mortgage Company or its affiliates. Intended for mortgage industry professionals only.
Paula Nerschel, NMLS number 383396. Brian Sewell, NMLS number 212085. Guild Mortgage is not affiliated with HomeBot. Thank you for joining us on Elevate Your Business, a podcast from mortgage professionals brought to you by Elevate, the internal coaching program at Guild Mortgage.